Thank you, Jesus, but I never lost my praise. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Love us some good friends. The Lord likes me. Some loved ones departed. In the time.
Good to be here, amen? Good to be in the presence of the Lord. Good to be in the presence of those who we love and those who love us. Today we give honor unto the Lord. Thank you for guiding and directing and blessing us to travel so many miles throughout the week. And because I have to drive up 87 and 90, and Route 7, Route 40, and Route 67. I see a lot of accidents. So I appreciate going from A to B, maybe more so than some of you who have short commutes. Amen. But to be able to go all week and not be in a car accident, to be able to go all week, and I'm a blessing. It's a blessing. So every time I get home and we find that our family's all home, I always want to be sure. I thank you just for allowing us one more day that we all made it in. It's a blessing. We want to give honor to our good friends and just loved comrades. Praise the Lord, sir. Thank you very much. In the person of Pastor Kemp. Pastor Kemp. You stand. Let's give them a hand. That's what we ought to do. Stand to our feet. Visionaries here in the city of Troy. They're doing a great job and a great work. Amen. And it is a blessing, amen, to be in fellowship with them. It's a blessing that we have developed a great relationship. There's nothing like great relationships. Amen. There's nothing like relationships where everybody trusts everything God has opened. We thank God just for the love and just right along. And sometimes we wonder, why didn't God do this well? But God knew right when to do it. Amen? You know, the right when to bring people together. At what point in their lives, amen, they need each other most. So it's a blessing that we have met them at this time. Amen. As we were talking to Elder Joe, amen, they came over, at least both of them have come over to preach at our church when Pastor Merv was living on, when we used to have third Sunday dinner. Amen. Joe came first and then Pastor Kim came second. Joe had a hard time remembering us. But I told him, he preached hard and good. And then I told him the other thing, I remember you all, I kept watching the door, but y'all kept coming. I said, Sunday afternoon, they brought everybody. Amen, but that was just such a blessing. That was years ago. But who would know, years later, we would establish this great fellowship. Amen. We want to give honor to the Agape ministry, amen, all the elders, all the ministers here, the deaconesses, the trustees here at Agape, the musicians, God bless you all, the worship team, God bless you, minister, and praise and worship team, all of you all who did such a great job in the Agape Saints. We want to say congratulations to all of you on your 6th anniversary. Amen. It's a major accomplishment. Major work that you all carry out here. Church work is not easy. When I used to work close with Bishop in Sandusky, he would often say, amen, I can't tell you everything he would say, but one of the things that he used to call, he calls me TL, not Elder Tim or anything else, he just calls me TL, and he would just say, TL, church work, and we would just all, we both smile at each other, amen, and so now that I've been pastoring now this many years and working with Pastor Murray closely as their assistant pastor, I now look at saints and say, church work. I understand what he would say, amen, even more dearly. We want to give honor to the New Jerusalem Church family. We want to thank them for support. Let's give New Jerusalem a hand for all their support. Our ministers, our deacons, our deaconesses, amen, our board of trustees, the board of ministers, the saints, the auxiliary leaders, the choir. Let's give a Lord a hand, pray for our choir. Amen. All the saints in Jerusalem, it's good to be here. It's a show of love that you all are here. And not only a show of love for God, but a show of love for me. So we want to do that. We want to honor my wife, Dr. Harper. Thank God for her. 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 Married now. I think I remember our anniversary more so than she does. But one of the ways we can remember our years we got married, because we happened to buy furniture, and we still have all the furniture. So somebody asked me, do y'all have a big screen TV yet? I tell them, no, we don't have a big screen TV because we're waiting for the TV we have to fall apart. So our rule was, you don't get a big, I do have a projector, so if y'all come out, y'all say, I thought he said I don't have a big screen TV. I don't have a TV, I have a little projector that projects big. But our law was we can't get a big screen TV until one of the TVs break down. And unfortunately, now they've been broken down. So we're still watching our Mary TV, and then we're watching all the free Skidmore TVs that came from media services when they were throwing them out. But God is good, so we thank God. We have so many reminders around us of how long we've been married. And besides that, our two beautiful children, Brianna and Timothy. Amen. Baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Thank you, and stay in the Lord, because that's where the victory is. It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. And we just are moving slow here, but we want to make sure we're moving in the direction of the Lord. Is that all right with everybody? I never try to get ahead of God, because He's in charge and He's sovereign. And He will move according to His plan. If we can just stand quickly, if I can just pray quickly, and then we'll move forward. And then right after we pray, Sister Carol, we can pass out those documents. Just, we only have 50 documents, and I'm only going to spend about 2 or 3 minutes on those documents. So if you don't get one, especially New Jerusalem, we'll get them to you some other point. And then I want to present Pastor Kim, since he's been calling me all kind of names all weekend. I thought I'd give him a souvenir. Lord, we thank you because you're good all the time. And all the time you are good. We thank you for this gathering of the host of saints. Lord, we know that the sign of the times is upon us. We know we are nearing the end. But we thank you for these opportunities where we can reflect and be thankful and be grateful to you because you have been good to us. We thank you for the love, the agape love. Lord, you said, by this shall they know that you are my disciples. By the love they have one toward another. We thank you for the love that we have one toward the other, the support, the show, and the demonstration of your spirit one toward the other. Now, Lord, we thank you for the praise and worship. We thank you for the choir selections. We thank you for those powerful testimonies that have went forth. And we would, Lord, as you cap off the evening with a word from the Lord, give the church a ear to hear with the Spirit. Give us, Lord God, hearts of flesh. Let our hearts be good ground. Not stony flesh. Make us responsive to your spirit and help us then to apply your word, Lord, through learning and changing. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Amen. So God bless you tonight. It's so good to be here. Amen. It's so good to be here. It's so good to be here. And some of you have been in service all day. Some of you have been in service all weekend. Amen. So just touch your neighbor and say, don't fall asleep. Not to fall asleep. All right. I got Mackie's voice now. And I tell him not to fall asleep. Amen. We're going to begin. Amen. And I created this when they had their topic. And I do try to. Some preachers don't believe in preaching on the topic, and that's all right. You have to preach how the Lord Bishop preached such a great message the other night, amen? The permanency of the church, amen? I hope we hold on to that when we're being tested and we're being tried, amen? I hope we hold on to that. I hope we hold on to that, saints. I hope we hold on to that. But I want to begin by reading, and I think I'm going to begin reading by Numbers 24, and we may go back to Numbers 16, but I'm going to start in Numbers 24. And you can't keep your Bible open. And the only reason I'm not, now some of you have been taught that when the word is being read, you stand up. And if you've been taught that, you ought to stand. But because I'm going to be reading a lot of scriptures, you don't have to stand. But if you've been taught that and you feel guilty sitting down when the word is being read, then you ought to stand up. Can we say amen? Because we don't want to put you in any situation of conviction. We also thank the Lord for this Church of Jesus Christ saints who are here tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ and all the other churches we may be representing God bless you and God bless your pastors. The Bible says in Numbers 24, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not, as at other times, to see more enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. And Balaam lifted up his eyes and saw, and he saw Israel abiding in his tents according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And he took up his parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, have said, and the man whose eyes are open have said, he has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, fallen into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. As the valleys are they spread forth, and as gardens by the riverside, and as the trees of line of loaves, which the Lord hath planted, and as cedar trees beside the water. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be in many waters, and his king shall be higher than Agag, and his kingdom shall be exalted. God brought him forth out of Egypt. Amen. We heard that earlier. He has it with the strength of a unicorn. He shall eat up the nations, his enemies, and shall break their bones and pierce them through with his arrows. He couched, he lay down as a lion and as a great lion, and who shall stir up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curseth thee. And Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together. And Balak said unto Balaam, and Balak said unto Balaam, I called thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not also to thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. It don't matter what they give you when God is in charge. If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to either do good or bad, the key clause here, of my own mind. You can't do good or bad of your own mind, not when you're going to be subject to the commandment of the Lord. What's our theme tonight? What's our theme tonight? He said, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. Now, we all know the story continues. You all may be seated. God bless you. I don't want y'all legs to get tired. Amen. Just in case you want to stand up later. Amen. Now, what I want us to understand tonight is that there's God's mind and then there's our mind. Now later, we all know the story that Balaam would mess up eventually. But he started good. Anybody ever heard of a good start, but not so much of a strong finish? Amen. But I want to use for a topic tonight, mind over matter. Mind over matter. And I want to use for a subtopic, amen, or a second topic, mind over matters. So our first topic is mind over matter. Then our second topic, or our subtopic, is mind over matters. Right, we added an S there, matters. When you add an S to matter, it changes what it means. Sometimes you add a S to a word and it just makes it plural. Here, when you actually add the S to the matter, it makes it a whole different word. There's a difference between matter and matters. But God wants our mind to be over both matter and matters. And then for a third topic, for those of you who like topics, God's mind over my mind. God's mind over my mind. Right? So mind over matter, mind over matters, and then God's mind over my mind. Amen. Then you get the right mind. Now, let me start this Bible, quickly explain this paper. Don't worry if you don't have it, you'll be all right. If you study the Word of God, as I was studying, as I was preparing, since my good friend, where is she? Let's give Sister Carol, stand up, let's give you a hand for all the excellent work that you do. Come on and stand up. She does such an excellent job, such hard work, dedicated and committed. Amen. Thank God for you. She, and I were speaking, I began to study. And as I studied, the Lord revealed to me there's really three broad areas when we talk about the mind. Three broad minds in the scripture. Three broad areas when we talk about the mind. The first one is whether or not you're single or double-minded. Right? It's whether you have a single mind or a double mind. Right? A single mind means you are strictly focused on the goal. You are strictly focused on what you want to accomplish. That means it don't matter what somebody says to you, you are already focused. They can't mess with you, right? You ever wanted to get something done so bad nobody couldn't call you on the telephone? Right? You weren't going to get that test because you were focused. That's what a single mind is, when you're so dedicated, so committed, so concentrated, I'm going to get this done. And I'm not going to be interfered with. Nobody's going to mess with me. Nobody's going to touch me. I got to get it done. Double-minded, on the other hand, is a person who vacillates. The word vacillate simply means to go from right to left and left to right. People who vacillate, they seem to be weak, but I want to explain to you, they're not necessarily weak. They're not necessarily, they just vacillate. Their mind is not made up, so therefore, if you talk to them on Monday, you may hear a very strong commitment to something. You may hear a very strong commitment to the anniversary. They may call Sister Caraway and say, Sister Caraway, I'm going to be there for you. Call me when you need me. But by Wednesday, when Sister Caraway begins to call them, their phone number has changed. That's a double-minded person. On Monday, they're ready to go. On Monday, they're excited. On Monday, they're energetic. But by Wednesday, something has happened. And their level of commitment is not the same. Then there is carnal and spiritual. That's different than being single and double-minded. Right? Carnal people are just simply fleshly. I want to understand that. Carnal people, they're just simply fleshly. It's not that they're not saved. I wish we could understand that. Carnality has nothing to do with salvation per se. It has something to do with the quality of salvation. But it has not necessarily to do with salvation. Matter of fact, the Lord said that we ought to pray for those that are weak. He told us to pray for them not because they weren't saved, so that they would no longer be weak. Those that are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak. Now, so when we talk about carnal people see the world from their flesh. They experience the world from their flesh. And so everything that happens, they respond to it from their flesh. It's not that they don't understand. It's not that they don't care. It's not, but they experience everything from their flesh. So when their flesh hurts, they can't get to the hospital. It's not that they don't want to go to the hospital as bad as you do, but because they experience the pain in their flesh, their flesh tells them, you gotta sit down tonight. Thursday morning come, and my throat is a little sore. I must stay away from church tonight. That's what the carnal person thinks. Their body, to some extent, controls their decision making. Their body and their emotional experiences control what happens. When you have a carnal person, they tend to react to carnal things. The Bible because of the carnal mind cannot understand that which is spiritual. And so when you have a carnal person, if sister Kim comes to me crying, I respond to her tears. Now, there's nothing wrong with responding to her tears, but sometimes when people are crying, you gotta pray and see why they're crying.
Amen.
All tears are not because somebody's heart is broken. Some tears are out of deception. And if you just do it out of carnality, you'll find yourself crying with folks who don't deserve for you to be crying with them. Sometimes when folks come crying to you, they need a strong rebuke. But carnal people, because they're just looking at the tears, because they only experience the tears from a fleshy perspective, they feel like this person needs sensitivity. But sometimes people don't need sensitivity. Sometimes they need to be told, get up from there and live right. Sometimes they need to be told, live holy and you'll do better. But when you're carnal, because you experience it fleshly, people know they can come to you fleshly. It's a fleshly experience. Spiritual people, on the other hand, I'm going to get into some terms that the Bible uses momentarily. Spiritual people, on the other hand, tend to experience the world spiritually. So they tend to be very slow in reactions to almost everything because they need to hear a word from the Lord before they figure things out. See, spiritual people always understand there's more to the story. See, spiritual people always understand that looks like us going on there, but I don't know. I better go pray. That looks like something I need to be involved in, but you know what? I don't know yet. Yeah, it looks. I know they told me to come over and preach, but I gotta pray first. It may be carnally good, but it may not be spiritually good. And so, spiritual people always tend to be less reactive, less sensitive, and so generally, when you get very spiritual people, one of the things you will hear about them is that they are not sensitive and they do not have enough love. Now, the reason why people say spiritual people don't have enough love is because spiritual people don't cry just because you're crying. Spiritual people don't jump up and run just because you need somebody to run after. You might be hungry, but they're going to find out what you're going to spend the money on. See, spiritual people are always double checking. They're always analyzing. They're trying to figure out what's going on here. Something's not right. Spiritual people can discern that something is not right. I can't get involved in it. I can't go there. Spiritual people can look at a house and say, I can't go in that house. It doesn't matter that it's a gated house. It doesn't matter that it's in a gated community. It doesn't matter that it's in a place where rich folk live. I can't go in that house because sin is in the house. See, so spiritual people are not, they don't base things on karma. They don't base things on the eye. They don't base things on what they can see. They look deeper than the eye. They try to analyze what's going on here. So they tend to move very slow. And so a lot of people get frustrated with spiritual people, right? Because carnal people like to move fast. Okay, I feel it. What do we call it? We call that impulsiveness. Carnal people, there's a high correlation. Now, if you're impulsive, don't get mad. But there's a high correlation between carnalness and impulsivity, right? Because when the flesh wants something, it just moves. Right? How many of you ever, don't raise your hand, have you ever went out just, you got ice cream just because you wanted ice cream? Right? Doesn't matter what it was going to do to you, it didn't matter what time of night it was, you were going to find your ice cream place, and you were going to get out there and get that ice cream, right? Impulse, ice cream, drive. Right? Now, it don't matter that someone 20 minutes ago had asked you to come and help them, and you said you were tired. It don't matter that 30 minutes ago the Lord had told you and moved upon you to go do something. You wouldn't do it because you had a long day. But when your flesh said ice cream, Lord, help me to have the right mind. So they're single-minded and double-minded. And then there's carnal and spiritual. So there are people who are carnal and double-minded, and people who are carnally single-minded. Now, you don't want to be carnally and single-minded. That means you're carnal all the time. At least switch off every once in a while. But there are also people who are spiritual and double-minded. That means they go back and forth. They tend toward spiritual. Right? Read about the churches. Read about Jacob's sons, the 12 tribes. He talks about Reuben. He talks about those sons. And you read about the seven churches. You will see that they tended toward spirituality. Some of them were more spiritual than others were. The Lord gave some of them more credits, more favorable attitudes than he did others. Because they tended toward spirituality. It wasn't that they were all carnal. But he said, now listen, but I have this somewhat against you. See, you're double-minded. You're doing pretty good, but you still could be working on this. Right? So some of us say we are spiritual for the most part, but we take vacations.
All right.
And I'm not talking about vacations where we go on planes and trains. We take vacations from the Lord where we take a little break. Thank God for a quiet trip. Let me get my dime out. Right? We take a little break from the Lord. We quit praying. We quit fasting. We get tired. And we start doing what we want to do. But don't you know, when you're doing what you want to do, somebody might need to be saved. Right? When you're doing what you want to do, somebody might need to be delivered. Don't you know, when you take that break, somebody might need you most. When we decide to take a vacation from the Lord. So we have single, double. We have carnal, spiritual. And then the last dimension is stable and unstable. Now somebody said, doesn't that sound like state, single, and double? It is, but it's a little bit different, right? Stable-minded people, right, are just people who basically, they always the same, consistent. They still can be double-minded, but they tend to be consistent, right? Unstable people are all over the map, right? The best way to think about unstable people is when you pick up the phone to call somebody, and while you're calling, you think about, which person am I going to get this time? Right? You know you're going to call their house, but you're wondering, this time, which one of them am I going to get? It's the same person, but you're trying to figure out, which one of that person am I going to get this time? Right? Which one of their friends, and to the extent that you're going to get the one you don't want to get, you hesitate to call. Because they're not stable. Right? Now, when we put those three things together, right, we find most of us, saints, most of us are in there somewhere. We're single, carnal, stable, double, carnal, unstable, single, spiritual, stable, double, spiritual, unstable. Now, why y'all think the Lord need to help us? Y'all hear what I'm saying? So by the time the Lord gets done with us, he works with all kind of folks. Y'all hear what I'm saying? They come out now, the hospitals are starting to specialize. The Lord can't afford to specialize with us. We all got general problems. You got to be a general practitioner. Right? So that's how we look in the church, saints. That's how we look at that now. We look on Sunday morning when we walk up in service. Right? Some of y'all know how y'all walk in church on Sunday morning. Now we talk about the right mind. Right? Some of us walk in service on Sunday morning, and Lord have mercy. Thank God they don't have the video camera turned that way. We have to understand is that when we have the right mind and we have a stable mind, we make up our mind in January that no matter when June, August, every time I walk in church, I'm going to have a certain attitude and a certain disposition because that's God's house. See, you can make up your mind that I'm going to do this, so it doesn't matter whether you're fighting with your husband, your wife, your cousin, your cat, or your dog. When I walk into God's house, I'm walking in with a praise. I'm walking in with worship. I'm walking in to glorify him. Because the devil once the devil sees, he can mess with you on every Sunday morning. He gonna mess with you every Sunday morning. Once the devil sees, he can mess your praise up every Sunday morning. He gonna mess your praise up every Sunday morning. God wants you to know you can get up so you won't have to mess up. on Sunday when I'm talking to Beth, and the pastor kept walking around the house, well, who will talk to me about? Now listen, either you gotta bind that spirit in the name of Jesus, or you gotta put an answer in your telephone. Get thee behind me. Right, because he understood that Peter was just being influenced. Some of the people who are messing with y'all praise, messing with y'all worship, you in church and can't sing right because you vex. You need to break off all that vexation and say, I'm about to praise the Lord like I used to praise him. Some of us, you need to get your praise back. You need to get your worship back. God is too good for you to be down and out. God is too good for you to be handicapped. God is too good for you to be tied up and tangled up. You got to say, Satan, the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. I will praise you. I will glorify you. I don't care what that brother say. I don't care what that sister say. You've been too good. See, to have a right mindset, we got to get tougher. Some folks don't, I'm just telling you right now, some folks don't like me. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I got to be right on level because they think I have to take the right Christian attitude. Pastor Harper. Now, the Bible says that we ought to love one another and give holy kisses and be good friends and all that stuff. And I believe in all that. But you know what I also believe in? I'm not going to let anybody run me over. Somebody need a right mind. How many want the right mind tonight? We want the right mind. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 22:6-8, the Bible says, then he called for Solomon his son, and excuse me, forgive me, sister, if I start reading before you get there, but I know the saints are ready to go home. And then he called for Solomon his son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son hath for me, it was in my mind. See, it was in David's mind. But David had to give up to the commandment of the Lord. There's a lot of things, saints, they're in your mind. They're not in God's mind. That's in God's mind. Oh, I think the church should have this. That's your mind. I think the church, when the church comes in, we should do hula hoops. That's your mind. See what I'm saying? There's a lot of stuff that you might envision for your church, but the pastor is the visionary. Let me say it again. There may be a lot of things that you envision for your church, but the pastor is the visionary. So what you have to do is you have to go talk to the pastor and say, "Pastor, I have this idea." And when the pastor say no, don't get mad and cry the blues. Don't get mad and get upset, because you got to go, "Pastor, the pastor not going to respond to your tears, but you don't get what you want. He's going to tell you to go somewhere and sit down and get right with God." See, there are a lot of people in the church, and we love ideas. At New Jerusalem, we do round tables and everything. We love ideas, but we also say no. That's a bad idea. Right? And there's some people, I say, if you're not ready to hear no, then don't come to me with an idea. Because there are some folks, they can't take no. They think, "I brought this idea, that means we must do it." No, we must not do it. Thank you for bringing the idea. We're not going to do that. Not this time. Not right now. Maybe next year, if you come on back in here. But you know what they find? They don't come back in here. They go try to cause some trouble because they didn't get what they wanted. But David understood that my mind is less important than God's mind. David understood, "I wanted to build God a house, but God said no." David could have had an attitude. David could have got a bad spirit. David could have said, "I'm quitting." But David said, "Listen, if it's not for me to build your house, Lord, I'd rather be a doorkeeper." Y'all heard what I'm saying? If it's not for me to sing in the choir, if it's not for me to be a deacon, somebody put me on a drum. If it's not for me to wave the flag, give me a broom and let me sweep the church. If it's not for me to be a preacher, put me somewhere in a Sunday school. If it's not for me to be an elder, put me in the balcony and let me take pictures. If it's not for me to be on the top, put me somewhere. Double-minded and unstable. And Lord, have mercy. They'll drive you crazy because they're already crazy. The Bible says the second crowd, I want one time I put my phone on my watch so I could keep time. All right. Second Chronicles 24, and Jehoiada took for him two wives. Somebody say, he already in trouble. But he was allowed then, y'all. And he begot sons and daughters. And it came past after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered the priests and the Levites and said to them, go out into the cities of Judah and gather all of Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year, and see that you hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites, they did what? See, some of us, the reason why we're not blessed because you haven't hastened yet. The pastor said hasten, you sitting there questioning them. The pastor said praying, you trying to figure out why are we praying. The pastor called a bath and you just went and bought steak. See, a lot of us, we don't hasten when the Lord says hasten. See, Joash was trying to do the right thing. He was trying to repair, but there's sometimes the saint, the pastor trying to repair, and we trying to tear down. Now listen, I'm a big believer in going somewhere and sitting down. I don't believe everybody in church has to support everything, y'all. I believe we're going to do some stuff in New Jerusalem, and some of these people are going to say, I don't want to do that. You know what I'll tell them? Go somewhere, sit down, and shut up. See, I don't believe it takes everybody in the church to do everything. But if you don't support something, just don't fight it. See, if you don't agree with it, just don't fight it. Just go somewhere and sit down. There's going to be some things your pastor going to say, let's do this. You may not be on page. Now, what you should do is you should just do it out of obedience. And some of us are not there yet. But if you're not there, you can just do it out of obedience. Sit down and pray. Sit down and pray. And watch God. I'm almost done. Let's go to Ruth. And Naomi, Ruth won, by the way, technology team. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters, why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry with them till you're grown? Would you stay with them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. Now, I want to stop there in the story to say one thing. Sometimes the test of your mind is going to be a negative situation. This was already a negative situation, but Naomi makes it worse. Right? Naomi makes it worse. She has two people there who love her. But because she is not capable of loving this time and at this moment, because she's so angry, right? She's so angry at this time, she instead tries to run them away. But you gotta have a made-up mind before the negative situation comes. You gotta have a made-up mind before the negative word comes. He's not wrong. My mind is made up. See, you gotta have a made up. You have a made up mind. Folks can talk about you, and while they're talking about it, you shouting. You know what I'm saying? Folks can give you bad news, and while they're giving you bad news, you praising the Lord. Folks can come and say it's not gonna work out. You keep praising like it's gonna work out. Folks can come and say you're not gonna make it. You shouting like you already made it. Help me, Holy Ghost. Ruth said, "Listen, Ruth." They always said, "Listen, Ruth." So of course at this time, a spirit, and as I grow in the Lord, I'm hesitant to call spirits evil or good. I think there may be some spiritual beyond, you can't figure them out till later. So Naomi's being influenced by something. And she had Ruth going crazy. And listen, I want you to see what Ruth said. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. And where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part me and me. And then the Bible says, when Naomi, somebody need to see whether or not you got your mind made up. See, your enemy was just trying to see if you had your mind made up. Naomi was in the body of Ruth's enemy, and so she began to speak negative to her. She began to speak bad things to her because the Lord wanted to find out what was in Ruth. The next time somebody speaks bad stuff to you, the Lord is just trying to find out what's in you. He's just trying to find out what you're made of. Steadfast preachers. I got to study hard. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says in Zechariah 3:1. I just got done talking to this with our evangelist today. Help me, Holy Ghost. The Bible said that he showed me Joshua. Come on, Pastor Kevin, I want you to come here. I want you to come right here and stand in front of me. Put your hand up and stand before this altar. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. But the Bible says Satan was at his right hand, resisting him. Come on, Pam. Come on, Pam. Come on, Pam. No, you're not Satan. Satan over here. Come on, Caraway. I don't let people play Satan. Come on, Caraway. Come on, Agape. Come on, Satan is resisting him. But he's got some help.
Yeah. the enemy's gonna look for the weak link. See, I want y'all to say, the enemy always looks for the weak link. Thank you. Y'all may say, I'm gonna make one more point now. I'm gonna try to sit down. But here's what happens in church. I want us to understand this, y'all.
Smile on their face, but, oh, I hear what you're saying.
Because now you got to do that stuff.
Right.
But Agape, this is your time. This is your hour. But make sure when the enemy comes to here, they can't find a weak link. Don't let them find a weak link. Don't let them find a weak link. Right? If you're mad at your pastor, go talk to your pastor. Right? I know, Pastor, if you have to sit out and talk, but bring a witness if you want to. Witnesses, not there to tell the truth. Right? If you have a person lying to you, the witness lying, you're in trouble. I always bring a couple more people. Right? But in general, what you want to do is you want to position yourself for victory. And how you position yourself for victory? By having the right mind. How did Ruth get Boaz? She got Boaz way before she ever met him. You know when she got Boaz? When she told Naomi, I'm not going anywhere. You see what I'm saying? Your blessing comes way before you see the manifestation of the blessing. Ruth got Boaz as soon as she told Naomi, I'm not going anywhere. You get your blessing as soon as you show the Lord faithfulness. You get your blessing as soon as you show the Lord dedication. You get your blessing as soon as you show somebody say, oh, I gotta keep living. No, you already got the blessing. Because you show the Lord dedication. You show the Lord commitment. The Bible says, because Abraham believed God, it was coming to him. Right when he believed God, he got everything he had coming to him. God bless you. God keep you.